This morning I will be reading from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Please follow along in your bulletin or in the overhead. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Christy. So you need a change of season? Change. Our scripture passage this morning focuses on change. Now we know that change is an inevitability in life unless you're standing in front of a vending machine. Right? Change is going to come, but just because change is going to come, it doesn't mean that you can't choose change. I think people choose to change all the time. Change the way they think, change the way that they see something, change their perspective. They change their emotion, they change their behavior. Christmas is about change. Christ is about change. And Mark makes that very, very clear, doesn't he? Let's jump to verse 4. John's making it very clear that what we need to do is repent from their sins and turn to God to be forgiven. Repentance, that word, that's the key word in the passage today. Repentance is a word in the Bible. There are several related meanings. I'm going to go for the two biggest categories this morning. Category number one is change as it relates, repentance as it relates in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, change or repentance means turning from evil to good. Turning from evil, turning towards good. Job 36. He, God, shows them their sins of pride. He gets their commands that they turn from evil. He gets their commands that they should turn from evil. Turning from evil. We know evil, and sometimes evil is, well, interesting enough to us that we'll even watch a new show on TV with that title. It's a little bit like a collision. We know we shouldn't look at it, but we look at it. And once we look at it, then, oh, now evil has a little foothold, the Bible says, in us. And we start approaching it instead of turning away from it. In the brutal, cruel Old Testament, repentance is clearly understood. Stay away from those that do evil. Stay away from circumstances in life that are evil. Stay away from the evil self that resides within you. When we go to the New Testament, it's more about a change of purpose. Change in the New Testament, repentance in the New Testament, is about an understanding and a lifestyle that is different than the way everyone else is going, the way I used to go. A change of purpose. Now our purpose is not only temporal, but now it's really eternal. And we understand in repentance that eternity now informs every single thing we do. Changes our heart, changes the way our mind thinks, it changes the way that we perceive things. It changes us spiritually, and we talked about that last week. We now have that centerpiece to the puzzle of life, and now life is really starting to make sense. And there is a meaning and a purpose that goes far beyond the moment of humanity, that goes beyond the human condition, that gets us thinking about other people and their eternal destination. Acts 3:19. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. I love the wiped away part. But let's not miss the repentance part. In the New Testament, the image is clearly that I was headed in this direction, and now I'm going to do a 180-degree turn. I might have been looking at being exposed to evil, and now I'm going to change. And as I change, now I'm moving towards the good, and life isn't just all about me and mine. Now life is about everyone, eternity. And that means a 180-degree turn. Now, what I think is fantastic and amazing about what the Holy Spirit does in our life is that turnaround, it happens in a twinkling of an eye. For me, it was raising my hand in a Bible study. I made that commitment, Jesus, you lead my life. And even though I was seated, I felt this 180-degree turn. Now, I didn't know all of what that meant, but now I was positioned in the right direction to go and enjoy what God had in store for me, to become part of His team, to start to look at all sorts of things in life differently than I did before, with a sense of eternity, with a sense of purpose and meaning that went way beyond Friday night. Yeah, repentance. It is turning from evil. It is a whole new definition of what the meaning and purpose of our life is all about. Now, repentance is not just saying we're sorry. Repentance is not blaming it on them or someone else. It is not just an apology alone. There has to be some commitment, some lifestyle with it, and therefore, repentance is not just a small commitment, not a small human commitment, but it's much larger than that. I believe that John the Baptist comes and tells us to repent and be baptized because he knows the truth of the gospel. He understands the good news that is coming. Jesus is coming. God is coming to this planet. And his arrival changes everything. Everything in history, everything in the world, everything in our lives. 180 degrees. So how do we make that 180-degree turn? How do we repent from our sins and now position ourselves with a vision of eternity before us. I think the first thing that needs to happen in our life is that we're willing to look at our own sinfulness. Now, perhaps you're like me, maybe you're different than me, but, you know, we don't like looking at our sinfulness. We'd rather say, you know, I'll look at my wrongdoings, right? Well, no one's perfect, right? So let's just look at our wrongdoings, and that should be good enough. And don't misunderstand me, wrongdoings are wrong. But when we're called to look at our sinfulness, we need to remember that our sin is first and foremost against God. First and foremost, it's against God. And trying to downgrade that to wrongdoing causes us to miss that part. And it might be a wrongdoing towards another person, because we are imperfect. You know, we don't always say the right thing. We don't always do the right thing. We don't always have pure thoughts of someone else and not all about us. Sin, on the other hand, talks about our wrongdoings and the impact it has on a holy, pure God. Wrongdoings may make us feel like we're in charge. Oh, sins remind us we are not in charge. We will not be the one that judges all the nations. And so we need to look openly and honestly at those sins. I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. And I know the truth. It's not always before you. I don't like keeping it in front of me. I want to put it behind my back so I don't ever have to look at it. Right? Oh, you know, I always have a good rationalization. There's always a good reason. Repentance is bringing all of those sins into light and calling them for what they are, a sin against God. The proof that we are separated from a God that we yearn to connect with, be in relationship with. And just depending on what your past is like, it might take a little while to get it all in perspective. Line it all up and bring it all out into the light of the gospel. Bring it into the light of the love of Jesus. That makes it a lot easier to do. Knowing God is not here to condemn us, but to save us. But if we can't acknowledge our sin, what we're really saying is yeah, I don't need you to save me this Christmas season. I got it all together. The second thing we need to do is we need to openly confess our sin. We need to bring it into the light, and then we need to call it for what it is. And realize most of the time what's going on in a particular circumstance or relationship in life is a reflection of something that's not in order in our own souls. See, that's the reason why I don't think therapy is good enough. Therapy isn't good enough because there needs to be a reckoning of our own souls to ourselves. Sure, we said something or did something that we shouldn't have said or done, or on the other side, we should have said something and we didn't say it. We should have done something, but we didn't do something. See, when we put those out in front of us and we realize that that's an offense against God as well as not a really good way to be a friend to someone else, now we're openly confessing. If you're like me, I want to take my little sins and, I'll bring a big one out, right? I mean, I'll bring one big one out and that'll be the thing and I feel good I brought the big one. You know, have you noticed those little sins are pesky little sins? They don't like going away. And the reason they don't like going away is because we won't look at them for what they really are, and then we won't openly confess. Sure, that's a smaller thing than this big thing, yet it's still a sin. It still points to the human condition that we're separated from God. And please start with all the big ones. But don't forget, you got some small ones. I like to call them my pet peeve sins. I give them to God, and then somehow, as I'm living life, I sneak around and I grab it back. And I'll tell you this, if you have a pet peeve sin, if you can't finally give it to Jesus, you'll keep going around and sneaking back all the time. And I love you, but I know you're sneaky. You know how I know you're sneaky? So am I. If we know God loves us, He came here to save us and not condemn us, I don't know about you, but that frees me up to be a lot more honest with myself about my faults and my failures, my propensity to fail here, sin over here. The third thing is we need to make a wholehearted commitment. Oh, let me go back to open confession. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. See, we always want to see it from our human perspective, not a godly perspective. Your judgment against me is just. Does God call anything a sin that's really good for us? He calls it out as a sin, and I love Paul's list, by the way. Paul's list, he always starts with smaller things. I would call them smaller things that we, you know, sometimes he starts with really big things and we say, oh, well, I'm not a bank robber, you know, I'm not a mass murderer. And then he'll finally get to slander and gossip. Uh-oh. Having a bad attitude. Uh-oh. Paul circles us all up when it comes to sin. And the truth is God's judgment of us is just. And we know it. We feel it. And we can see the need to do a 180 degree right there and go in the other direction. Our willpower will help us, but it's not powerful enough. Willpower, the Holy Spirit, some caffeine, there's a lot you can get done. The third thing is we got to make a wholehearted commitment. You, God, have teach me to be wise in my innermost being. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. Make me willing to obey. So how willful are you as a person? Willfulness in the right setting is a great trait to have. You can persevere, you can stick to it, you can keep going. The downside of all that willfulness is that we have a hard time giving in to the reality that we have sinned against God and other people. And so we make a half-hearted attempt at changing the way we think, the way we feel, the way we live out our life. And that's why it needs to be 180 degrees. Somebody said once, well, why not 360? Well, duh, you go all the way. Now you're All that does is make you dizzy and crazier than you really are. See, 180 makes sense, doesn't it? And as we make our way, as we pray this morning, God illumines our path. And I can tell you this, if you're a willful person, you want to hang on to the whole idea that I'm in charge of my life, good and the bad. And I don't need anybody to save me from anything this Christmas season. When we're willing to be committed to God, when we take seriously our 180-degree turn and make our way, I can tell you, it's divine. It puts us on the path of a purpose and meaning in life. Not only does it move us away from evil, but it gives us a meaning and a purpose in life that is awesome. We were created in the image of God for a reason. And that reason is to be one of His children. And if you don't want to be one, then you won't be one. But my encouragement to you this Christmas season is do a little repentance. Make the big step of repentance. But to do it, you have to look at who you really are. You need to openly confess that to God. He hears that, and He responds to that. And as we have a wholehearted commitment to Him, He wipes clean the slate of our soul. And I know how part of what Christmas is like for all of us, there are some mistakes and some brokenness and some difficulty and challenges in life that we have to revisit every Christmas. And what I have to say to you today, the good news I want to share with you is you don't have to carry that guilt and that shame one more day. Not one more day. Because once we repent and we experience the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ can give us, because He's the one that has earned the right to be the forgiver of our sins. He's very faithful. You'll know that you've been forgiven of your sins and that your repentance is real, alive, moving you forward in life and meaning and purpose. So what does that look like? What's the result of repentance and turning around? Number one, and this is a big thing, it changes your eternal destination. Let's not miss that this Christmas season. Jesus coming to this planet is all about eternity. We have two paths to eternity, two end results to eternity, and God is the one that decides which one we go to. Again, I read something, this week, the annihilation theory, the whole idea that when I get to the end of my life, that's it. There is no more once my physical body is dead. And I always want to say to people, but what about the part of you that's not physical? See, we have this mark that we were created in the image of God. And we know that because we know the difference between right and wrong. We yearn to be in relationship with God. We have a problem when we're alienated from other people. Our personality and character, I think that's what we take to eternity. I think that's a part of us, who we really are. It doesn't remain in the ground, so to speak, with our bodies. We're on an eternal trajectory. in the given, the way that it all boots up in life is we're headed to hell. How do we know that? Because we see evil and we know we have to turn away from it. Right? I like to be somewhat simple about this. You can imagine a world where only good takes place, and we can imagine a realm of existence where only bad takes place. The bad place is hell, and the good place is heaven. And you don't automatically go there because you live in America. You don't automatically go there because you go to church. You don't automatically go there because from about Thanksgiving to New Year's, I'm a really good person. I give a lot of money away. See, it's about who we are in the soul. And as we talk about heaven and hell, something resonates inside of us about that truthful reality. And if you will never repent, then the end result of that is hell. I think eternity is in the balance of almost every relationship. Around here, it's over 90%. And it gets me moving. It gets me inviting someone and resisting the rejection I might receive because I'm inviting them to something at the church. So what we need to realize is, first and foremost, repentance sends us in the direction of heaven. For this kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in what? Salvation. That's just a theological term, a biblical word for you're going to spend eternity with God. Yes. And no, you won't be floating on a cloud with a lyre and wings and a little halo. If that's what heaven's all about, whoa, I'm not sure that's where I want to spend eternity. Right, guys? Yeah, don't worry. You'll have purposeful things to do when you get there. Number two, repentance results in a positive change in our lifestyle. Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way that you live. If you've truly repented from the evil and the sin, then leave it. Not all of it's easy to leave, I get it. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the encouragement of other people in the church, we can make a lot of progress. We can move away from a lot of things. And which of those things that are evil is really good for us? Zero. What is it that Jesus Christ asks us to do in our lifestyle of discipleship? What does he ask us to do that is bad for us to do? Zero. So why do we wallow in the evil and why do we not move into the light? It's our sinful nature. That's our human condition. And so when you turn around, maybe you're really a good person and your lifestyle doesn't need to change a lot. I'll tell you this, your soul will change dramatically. And you'll notice a few things that need to be adjusted in your lifestyle. I was a little hellion, so I had a lot of change to bring about in my life. The third thing that we need at Christmas time, and God brings us in repentance, is peace. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ came to this planet, and he didn't come to get after you, to belittle you, to heap on more guilt and shame on you. Just the opposite. He wants to free us from that. And on this side of repentance, who doesn't want that? Trade in the sinful and the evil and take up what is abundant and meaningful. The good news of Jesus Christ is he came not to condemn us, but to save us. Not to burden us down, but to free us up. Let us pray. Jesus, as we take in this picture of you in the Christmas season, I know we could all use a little change this season. Some need to repent for the very first time today. They need to raise their hand, so to speak, and ask you to be the leader of their life. And it does take the Holy Spirit to turn us around from that evil and point us in the right direction. And I am thankful that that's the kind of God that you are. And Lord, when it comes to the smaller things this season that you're bringing into our minds and our hearts, Lord, let us repent from those things as well, that you would this Christmas season create in us a clean heart, mind, and soul. And that result, the way that we live, that it would give glory and honor to you this Christmas season. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.